to occupy 01 to 05 UT every night is to be Bishop Bob Bierman. That is the guy who does Truth to
Hi, this is Lance Treadwell from Albany, New York. You're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, ACRA.
Perfect.
And we're tuning in all sorts of local sounds during our 2023 pledge drive. This is our fall pledge drive, and we are focusing on local music because we play local music and local sounds all year round, but we're emphasizing that in this week because... That's one of the things we do here at WGXC. We cover local music and local sounds and local concerts coming to town and concerts, venues opening up and more is in our news and on our air at WGXC 90.7 FM. We hope you consider making a donation today at wgxc.org/donate or call 518-697-7400 during the WGXC pledge drive. That's WGXC.org/donate to help make a difference in your community, to keep local sounds on the air, to keep one space on the dial, one frequency that's open for the public to have their say, one place where the public can talk on the public airwaves that should be public and should be open but are often roped off by corporations in far-off cities telling local stations what to play instead of having stations play things locally, which is what WGXC does. Broadcast originally was, the definition is tossing seeds, and we toss those seeds here at WGXC so they can grow into a proper music scene. We can grow local businesses on the radio here with interviews with new local businesses. We help young people grow and learn media skills that they'll use for the rest of their lives on WGXC. So all these reasons, we hope you consider a donation today at wgxc.org/donate.
You can find out about so many local events like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday, there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org and add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to wgxc.org and clicking on the community calendar.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés. If you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street. You belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of One Universal Media of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
This is Brian DeWine. I leave my clock radio tuned to 90.7 FM so that when it goes off in the morning, the first thing I hear is WGXC.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC news update. Liz Montgomery reports in Porcupine Soup that the formerly trailless 17 mountain peaks in the Catskills now have informal trails, and the Department of Environmental Conservation said on October 5th it will spend $50,000 to, and I quote, promote responsible recreation and sustainable use of the formerly trailless peaks over 3,500 feet in the Catskills, end quote. The money will go to a visitor experience survey and educational signs on the informal trails. The visitor survey begins this weekend, and anyone can also fill out an online survey through November 11th on a link on the WGXC newsroom. Patricia R. Doxey reports in the Daily Freeman that New York's Office of Cannabis Management began accepting applications from anyone wanting to open a legal cannabis store on October 3rd through March 4th. Previously, New York only took applications from someone who has been convicted of a marijuana-related offense or someone whose parent, spouse, child, legal guardian, or dependent has been convicted of a marijuana-related offense in New York before March 31, 2021. New York has been criticized for a super slow rollout of legal cannabis stores, with only a handful open across the state more than 2 years after legalization and none locally. Tremaine Wright, chair of the New York State Cannabis Control Board, said the expansion, and I quote, marks a huge step forward in making our vision of an equitable and accessible New York cannabis market a reality, end quote. But because of the slow application process, those applying for stores now won't have them open for some time. The Cannabis Control Board has issued 463 conditional cannabis licenses so far, but only 19 retail dispensaries and 4 temporary delivery-only locations have been opened in the state, none closer than Albany. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Lou Posnow reports in New York State of Politics that Governor Kathy Hochul on October 6th boasted about 13,300 new manufacturing jobs added in the state since 2021. Hochul said, and I quote, New York's manufacturing sector is in the midst of a major renaissance, and we've got the jobs, the businesses, and the investment to prove it, end quote. Nationally, the Labor Department reported on October 6 that the country added 336,000 jobs in September. Unemployment in the United States is near a 50-year low at 3.8%. Locally, the rate is lower in all the Hudson Valley counties. And you can read more about that story in New York State of Politics. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
This is not a test, Domestic Violence Awareness and Prevention Month. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. On the afternoon of October 4th, cell phones across the United States buzzed or beeped simultaneously, testing the National Emergency Alert System. Some news organizations preparing the public for the alert offered a warning. If you're a victim of domestic violence and have a hidden phone at home that your abuser is unaware of, silence it before the alert. It was chilling to hear the warning, to think how a simple test of emergency preparedness could actually deepen a real, ongoing emergency for some. Violence against women is a global blight. It transcends race, class, nationality, religious, and political affiliation. The term intimate partner violence is synonymous, but acknowledges that there are male and non-binary victims as well. Importantly, intimate partner violence is preventable. October is Domestic Violence Awareness and Prevention Month in the United States, a moment to educate and engage in collective action to eliminate this all-too-often hidden pandemic. Tracy McCorder's story painfully captures the devastating impact of domestic violence. She courageously recounted her ordeal in an award-winning essay on Truthout. In it, she describes the cascade of catastrophes that followed her victimization at the hands of her violent, estranged husband.
In March of 2020, I was living apart from my spouse.
Tracy recounted on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
Because he had relapsed on alcohol and he would be violent. And when he was drinking, his violence would lead to attacks that included choking. As a nurse, I knew exactly how dangerous strangulation is to anyone, to a domestic violence victim. It is considered the most dangerous form of domestic violence.
Tracy's estranged husband repeatedly came to her door drunk, harassing her and her neighbors to the point where she risked eviction.
I felt desperate that if I was going to find a way to escape him for good, I needed to help him.
So on March 2nd, 2020, Tracy let her husband in despite his intoxication, not long after he was dead.
He started saying, "Give me money, give me money." And I was not going to give him money to help him keep drinking. He then proceeds to attack me, which included a choking episode, and it ended up that he came away with my purse. He was by the door. I was further inside of the apartment, and I wanted him to get out. I was so desperate for him to leave. He wouldn't leave. Neighbors heard me yelling at him to get out, not to take my purse. I grabbed a knife that was a long serrated knife. It was a bread knife because I thought I would scare him out of my apartment. It had, in fact, worked before that I was able to scare him into leaving me alone. He approached me when he couldn't find my wallet in my purse, and I had the knife, and it started to scratch him, in fact. It didn't scare him, and that terrified me. He was getting more angry, and so I agreed to give him my wallet. When I put the knife away and looked for my wallet, it wasn't where I normally kept it, in my scrub pants, and I pleaded with him that I didn't know where it was. And he didn't believe me, and he was coming at me again. And I was terrified that he was going to now choke me to death. And I grabbed another knife out of my kitchen drawer. And as he was coming toward me, he stumbled. I don't know if it was because he was drunk or he stumbled on things that were on the floor. When he stumbled, he impaled himself on the knife that I was holding for my protection, because I had a right to defend myself. And that wound proved to be very grievous.
Tracy called 911 and did what nurses are trained to do, applied pressure to the wound.
The police came into my apartment and then EMS, and I was forced away from helping to save his life, put in handcuffs, and I watched the police try to perform CPR on my husband, not putting pressure on the wound, and was forced to watch them pump the blood out of his body even faster than it was already going, and they wouldn't listen to me when I was trying to tell them how to save his life.
Tracy McCarter was charged with second-degree murder and sent to New York City's notorious Rikers Island jail. Denied bail, she languished there for 7 months as the COVID-19 pandemic ravaged the jail. McCarter was eventually released with an ankle monitor. She'd been pursuing a master's degree at Columbia University. Columbia suspended her for, of all things, gender-based misconduct. She lost her job, couldn't find work, as she had to check the box on applications that she had a pending felony case. Spearheaded by the grassroots group Survived and Punished, a solidarity movement grew using the hashtag #IStandWithTracy. It was retweeted by several Manhattan District Attorney candidates, including Alvin Bragg, who won. Though it would take him a year in office, he finally dropped the charges against Tracy McCarter. In May, Tracy graduated from Columbia University with a master's degree in nursing. She walked across the stage, draped in a banner that read, "Columbia U failed to support this criminalized DV survivor. I graduated anyway," it said. She's resumed work as a nurse at Weill Cornell Medical Center. Tracy McCarter's is just one story. There are millions more. According to the CDC, almost half of women in the United States, about 60 million women, reported sexual violence, physical violence, and or stalking victimization by an intimate partner at some point in their lifetime. The figure for male victims is around 7%. Seeking help when in an abusive relationship can be risky, but skilled people are available at the National Domestic Violence Hotline at thehotline.org by calling 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-7233, or texting the word START to 88788. Millions of people suffer violence at home. Too many don't survive it. It's past time to end the scourge of intimate partner violence. This is not a test. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
And now, here is your WGXC weekend weather forecast. On Sunday, there will be a slight chance of showers before 2 p.m. It will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 58 degrees and a west wind at 10 to 14 miles per hour. And on Sunday night, it will be partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 42 degrees. And on Monday, Columbus Day, it will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 56 degrees. And on Monday night, a chance of showers after 2 a.m., it will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 42 degrees. And that is your weekend weather forecast from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia County.
And I am Pastor Kim.
I'm Tanaja.
I'm Denyla.
And I'm Shauna.
And we are Chick Chat.
Yes, yes, yes. And we are so glad to be back, all our listening audience, family, and friends. So glad to be back. We haven't had a Chick Chat segment since school let out in June. This season, this semester, we have some newbies to the group. And they just introduced themselves to Deja, Janila, and Tashana. And we have some things we want to chat about today, don't we, ladies?
Yes.
Yeah. So first segment, Deja, what are we going to talk about today?
Today we're going to be talking about middle school crushes.
Middle school crushes. I remember my middle school crush, which was a long time ago. So middle school crushes. Why is that an important subject for us to be talking about? Anybody, why is that an important subject?
It's important for us to be talking about so our parents know how we feel and we're not just crazy.
Okay, I like that idea. Any other reason we're going to talk about it today?
Entertainment
and advice.
Okay. All right. So parents don't think we're crazy. Entertainment and to get advice. So let's go. Why is junior high crushing entertaining? What makes it entertaining?
It's entertaining because you can have very different opinions about people and you can share your opinions and just like judge. Don't judge hard, but judge.
Use judgment in how you spend your time and who you spend your time with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. What else is entertaining about junior high school crushes? Do you think about what kind of actual entertainment you might have with a crush? What kind of things would you like to do with your crushes?
Like kiss.
That's her.
Well, that could be entertaining. I don't know if I was kissing boys when I was in junior high school. I know it's a different world than the world I come from. But then, yeah, okay. We're going to have a personal conversation about that. Let me tell you that. Okay. All right. So
like to hang out with them, talk to them more.
Hang out. So what's hanging out look like these days?
Sit next to them.
Oh, yeah, my gosh. Well, that's not much different than my days. Okay.
Talking a bit.
Okay. So entertainment is sitting together, holding hands, and talking a bit. In my day, it was like roller skating.
Oh, like taking people out on a date and stuff.
Yeah. Well, it don't have to be a date, but just hanging out with a group, maybe. You know, do you ever think in terms of going out as a group?
Yes, sometimes.
And what kind of things would you do entertaining as a group?
Watch movies.
Anybody?
Double dates.
Double date? But what would you do on a double date?
Like, go to the movies, roller skate, get ice cream.
Would you do sports?
Yeah.
For entertainment?
Yeah, watch your girlfriend or boyfriend.
Basketball, playing soccer, going to the park, playing tag and stuff.
Uh-huh. So what do you think about being on the same team with your crush, or would you want to be in opposite teams as a competition?
I would be on opposite team because I'll get distracted.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. That's interesting to me. I would have chosen to be on the same team so we could have teamwork and beat the other group.
True.
Something to think about, right?
Yeah.
I think it would be more distracting if I was on the opposite team because I'd be looking at them and I might miss the ball when it came my way, you know? So sporting is entertaining, sport activities, roller skating.
Seeing who's better in roller skating.
Okay. Oh,
a little competition.
A little competitive edge over here, huh? All right. Do you think you would let your crush beat you at something you know you were better at?
Yeah. No. I would. I want to think, what's the word? Let me beat you.
You want them to beat me? You want them to let you beat them? You're gonna show your full potential, right?
I'm not gonna let them beat me.
I hear you. All right. So it's entertaining to do some things with your crush. What else would you? Why else is this an important topic for us to have?
For advice and for other people who's going through stuff in their relationships.
Okay. So, do you have conversations other than today with people who can give you advice about dating and about having crushes in junior high school?
No, not really. I keep myself to myself.
I
don't want people to judge that hard.
Uh-huh. So maybe we can just get something started where we can have this conversation from time to time because we have a judgment-free zone here. Yes?
Yes.
All right. And there was something else you said that why this was an important topic to have. It had something to do with the parents. Talk to me about why it's important to have this conversation in regards to the parents.
So they can know your boyfriend or girlfriend.
So they can give you like dating advice from back in their days.
Mm-hmm. You don't think that the dating advice your parents would give you would be outdated?
Yeah.
I think you got to talk a little louder.
I think it would definitely be because, like, it's there, and then some of the stuff that we get to do, they didn't do back in their day.
Some of the things are different nowadays, too.
Their advice would be better, though.
Their advice? Okay, let's take it one more time because I want to unpack some of this. So, some of the things that you all do today, we didn't do in our day?
Yes, mm-hmm. Most of them.
Now, that's a unanimous yes. Give me an example.
Like kissing.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, kissing as a
like male. Like being pregnant at 15.
And younger.
And younger.
That's a lot.
Well, I have you to know that there were, in my day,
you would get your bones.
There were, that too, but there were young people who were, you know, having sexual relations at those ages. What do you think about having sexual relations that young?
I don't think that's
unacceptable.
It's unacceptable. You should get a bit older so you're more responsible about your decisions.
And your kids and, like, your stuff. So, and for school, like, do it around, like, when you're 18 or older.
My advice is to focus on your school life and then go dating.
Yeah, you have to focus on yourself more than focusing on another child.
So, do you think that there's pressure at your age to maybe not hold to your value about that? Do you think there's pressure from people to, do you experience any pressure at this age?
Sometimes, not about dating and stuff, maybe like getting your grades up and that kind of pressure.
Yeah.
Okay, so the pressure for sexual relationships isn't there yet.
Not yet, maybe like in high school.
Okay, and so are you prepared? Do you feel like you'd be prepared to deal with that kind of pressure, or do you need more help?
I think I'd be somewhat prepared.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know a lot about this.
About stuff. Like, we do Planned Parenthood and stuff.
Okay, Tashana, I'm not hearing you too well. I need you to pull up a little bit and speak up a little bit because your views are important too. Okay. So tell me what you said.
I said I think it's better to know about sexual relationships at a younger age so you're prepared for anything when you're older.
Mm-hmm. So if a nice looking guy pull up on you and say, girl, you just so fine. I want to spend some time. I want you to be mine. And then you'd be like, oh, he's so fine. He's so cute. And he want me to be his.
First thing you got to think about is your age. Your age. If he's in your age group and if you're in his age group. Otherwise, you can get into some real trouble.
I would say, like, no, but yes, because, like,
What are you saying?
I would say no, because it's not just about the looks. It's just, like, you got to know me better, like, your personality and stuff.
You don't know where he's been. You don't know if he might have kids. You don't know if he has a girlfriend. You don't know if he's been to jail. You don't know about his life.
So just don't let the sweet words fool you, right? You got to get to know people. You're too young. You got priorities. You have ambitions. You want to finish school. Somebody says something about going to college. Somebody said about having, you know, your life kind of on track before you make those kind of decisions. I'm going to check back with you in 2 years. Nah, I'm going to be there all the way. All right. So, but you said you wanted your parents not to think you were crazy by saying you have a crush on somebody. Why do you think parents think you're crazy when you say you have a crush?
Because, like, because you don't know how to handle it and stuff.
Oh, they don't think you're ready for it?
No.
In this day and age, there is a lot of things going on. So parents would probably think that you're unprepared for the different types of circumstances that could happen.
So how do you get prepared?
Like, talk to someone and ask them what they've been going through in relationships.
Talk to somebody that has had a healthy relationship and talk to someone that knows how to deal with a toxic relationship.
Girl, I'm gonna give you snaps and claps on that. You gotta learn from people who know how to have a healthy relationship. And you got to talk with people who know what toxic relationships are like, right? They say, oh, I can see that. I can see that. All right. So, you know, I'm so glad that you all, you know, had this opportunity to have this conversation about crushing in junior high school. Takes me back. I remember being so in love with somebody in junior high school. You know, I don't even know where they are today. Lost contact with them a long time ago. But then I thought I was going to die without them. You ever had that feeling like, oh, if you don't call me, I'm just gonna, all the time. And then guess what? 3 years from now, you're not even gonna know who they were.
No, because this happened to me. Like, I tried calling them and then they don't answer. And then, like, just one day when I was busy, they decided to call me, but then I try to call them back, they don't answer.
So that's playing games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, toxic.
Toxic. Come on, snaps and claps. All right, toxic. And I'm so glad you all are learning the value of being who you are, right? And said, yeah, it might hurt for a minute, but I got to let you go because it's toxic.
I'll get over it.
I'll get over it. Absolutely. You all were telling me about some crushes that y'all have right now. Mm-hmm.